This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofetim, chapter 12. The tribe of Ephraim complains to Yiftach that he did not summon them to join him in battle against Ammon. We've heard this complaint before from them when they lodged it against Gideon. Now, Yiftach is not as forgiving or as easygoing as Gideon, and he turns the blame right around on them, accusing them of failing to come to his aid when he needed them and when he called to them. And he says because he saw that they didn't support him and they didn't assist him, that's why he didn't call them to join him in the battle. In other words, he places the blame squarely on their shoulders for not having been supportive, not having been responsive in the past. He says it's all their fault. These aggressive comments exacerbate the already existent tension between Ephraim and Menashe, because Yiftach, remember, is from the tribe of Menashe. The situation escalates into a civil war between Gilad, mainly, which is a subsection, as we mentioned, of the tribe of Menashe, and Ephraim on the other side. So we have a very, very intense conflict here, and a lot of name-calling, a lot of discrimination, and derogatory comments being made back and forth, as well as fighting. The men of Gilad controlled the river crossings along the Jordan River and wouldn't allow members of the tribe of Ephraim to cross. Anybody who wanted to pass through had to demonstrate that they were not members of the tribe of Ephraim. And if they were suspected of lying, there was a test. What was the test? Say the word shibboleth. The word shibboleth was difficult for the people of Ephraim to say because they could not pronounce a sh sound. So they would say sibboleth. And then unwittingly reveal their heritage, the fact that they were from the tribe of Ephraim, and they would be killed right there at the bank of the river. 42,000 members of the tribe of Ephraim were killed as a result of this. So we see that it really became a bloody and a brutal conflict all over what we might consider petty disputes between the two sides. Yiftach led the nation for 6 years. After him, there were three, again, minor judges. By minor, I don't mean to categorize them or label them as insignificant, but just to say that we don't know much about their career, other than sometimes the sizes of their families, how many children they had, how many, seemingly how much wealth they had. We have Ivtzan of Bethlehem, Elona Zivuloni, and Avdon ben Hillel, the Piratoni. We are not really provided with any details about the deeds that they did, what were the challenges that were faced during those periods, and what kind of battles did they lead, or what kind of decisions did they make. About this, we are in the dark, more or less. Now, there's an obvious comparison to be made between Gideon and Yiftach. The Nach is clearly drawing a parallel here. History draws a parallel here. In both cases, they are attacked by Ephraim. They're criticized by Ephraim for having excluded them from an operation, a military operation. Now, Gideon, we remember, was very, very diplomatic. He was calm. He was sensitive. He actually was able to extinguish the flames of their passion by saying to them, listen, you know, you guys are so great. The reason I didn't call you out was because you're so great that I saved you for the most challenging part of the operation, which was apprehending the princes that escaped. I didn't want to call you in for such simple operations that anybody could do. I saved you for the best of the best. So in other words, he praised them, he flattered them, and it worked. Yiftach, on the other hand, fans the flames of discord. He throws gasoline on the flame because he says, no, the tribe of Ephraim is at fault. They were the ones who caused it. They weren't good enough. They weren't responsive, and that's why I didn't call them in. So we might initially want to conclude that Gideon was a better politician than Yiftach. Yiftach is a hot-headed guy. He's impulsive. He doesn't think through the messages that he sends to the tribes, and he sows the seeds of discord there. But that would be a hasty conclusion to reach, because we know that Yiftach himself, when faced with the prospect of going to war against Ammon, did employ diplomacy at great length. He sent very complex and rich messages to Ammon to try to defuse the war, to try to avoid going out to battle. So why didn't he use the same political acumen and intelligence in approaching the people of Ephraim? Why did he jump right for a fight? So I'd like to suggest a possible explanation here. We remember that Yiftach had made a condition of his acceptance of the generalship of Israel, that if he would succeed in the battle, he would become the king. He would become the leader of the nation of Israel. And essentially that meant becoming the monarch. Now he imagined that as a result of winning the battle, he would be able to establish the first monarchy in his own name with his own family. However, the incident with his daughter, which seems to just be a personal tragedy, actually was much bigger of an issue than that. Because the fact that his daughter now either was killed, if we take the sacrifice of her literally, or as we explained, she never got married, and therefore never had children, and she was his only child, seemingly. So This meant that he no longer had an heir. There was no way for him to have any continuity. That meant that after her demise, however we understand it, if we understand it as actually bodily demise, or simply that she doesn't have any future as a mother in motherhood, that means that Yiftach has no heir. He has no way to pass on the kingship from generation to generation, which means essentially whatever he does now has no future. He will not be able to have a successor. He will not be able to establish a dynasty in Israel. Now, political acumen, as powerful of a tool as it is in the hands of an ambitious leader that thinks he has a future and has aspirations for greatness, it's an amazing source. It's an amazing resource. But for somebody who's hopeless, has nothing to lose, there's no reason for him to exert himself to be diplomatic. So once Yiftach saw that he had no future, he couldn't found any dynasty, his daughter wouldn't be able to provide him with grandchildren to be able to appoint a successor, he basically throws caution to the wind and keeps himself busy with civil war and endless skirmishes and conflicts, because now all he's doing is sitting pretty and waiting for his time to expire and his career to reach its end. So we have to see, actually, the incident with his daughter, not just as a personal tragedy that is very memorable and very noteworthy and very famous, but it's actually something that changed his whole career, in my opinion. I think that's how we can understand the decisions and the behavior of Yiftach moving forward.